Okay, well, first of all, I have to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
I mean, I feel like a terrible friend because I knew we celebrated last weekend and I didn't think this was your actual birthday.
Today it is.
What are you going to do to celebrate?
I mean, I'm too old to celebrate. Actually, I'm having a party with like 18,000 of my closest friends tomorrow night at Bridgestone.
Oh, I'll be there. Fantastic.
Yeah,
CMA Awards. Great. Can't wait. So last week on my Instagram, I posted that I wanted to do a question and answer podcast. So then, first of all, I had no time to do that. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea because I was traveling last week. But then second of all, I sat down. I had about 15 minutes. I was like, oh, I'll just knock this out really fast. I hate doing podcasts by myself. Have you? Oh, you've never tried one.
No.
Can you imagine if I just left this room and you were doing it by yourself?
Well, I'd find some way to make it funny.
You would think.
No,
one
yeah,
would
I bet it gets
think.
Really boring.
But I thought it was so boring and I have no one to like banter with or interact with. And so I was just reading the questions and then I would answer.
You're like a
it.
Book on tape.
Yes. That's exactly what it sounded like. So I was like, okay, nix this. I got to bring Chip
Did you
in.
Try like doing a fake voice for the question person?
What if I did? I was like.
Do a good fake voice. What would your fake voice be?
Hello. What's the question? Give me a question first.
Will you go out with me?
Oh, are you asking? That was weird. Hello, will you go out with me? And then I'll be like, actually, no, I can't go out with you because I have a boyfriend.
Ugh.
Mic drop. Bye.
Bye.
Yes.
Breaking hearts.
Yeah.
On my birthday.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about that. I love that you're acting like you're interested right now. So anyway, I gave you a list of questions to go through. And then did you think of any of
your... Oh, yeah, I've got some questions.
Okay. So we'll go through this. I might like flip the switch and ask you some too.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
That makes me so nervous.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank God my mom doesn't know how to listen to
anything. Oh, God. My poor mom at this point, she's just like... What I mean, I've lost
her. Does she
her.
Listen to podcasts?
Of course, she listens to all my podcasts.
So
and she's seen me on TV talk about sex, you know, normal
well,
things.
There you go.
Actually, it was more like uncircumcised penises, but proud mom, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just because you just Googled it, you know?
I've actually never seen one. So.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very true. Have you? See, here we go.
Yeah. I have.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What was it like?
I mean, it's like, I like to describe it.
This is my favorite thing I've ever asked
like,
you.
Do you remember like glowworms? Remember those like toys that you held that like slipped through your hands like this?
Sure do. He just did the motion,
yeah,
by the way.
I don't know what they were called, but that's what they remind me of.
So they light up
they
too?
They got a turtleneck on.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, it's like if it had a turtleneck.
Yeah. It's cold out.
It is really chilly out.
Oh, God,
all right,
freezing.
Let's get to these questions. What do we have?
All right, so these are some from these are from Velvet's Edge fans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Followers. I mean,
followers.
Or whatever.
Listeners. Whatever it is.
Velvet's Edge.
Well,
clan.
What is the favorite podcast that you've done?
Oh, I mean that's so hard. That's like when people say it's like asking you your favorite child. I mean I don't know that I can pick because they all end up meaning something to me. You know. I think the ones I leave feeling the most satisfied with are the ones that I've truly learned something, or even if it's like grown spiritually in some way, someone's done a reading on me of some sort. So it's like enlightening, you know.
Well, that must be nice because it's not like you're just doing it for people to listen. Like,
no, I'm actually just
you're just letting
curious.
Someone into like a moment in your life.
Absolutely. So yeah, when I'm like just genuinely curious about a topic and I get answers to it, those are the ones that I'm like, yes,
right.
That felt good.
The Mary Hilliard one was fun too.
Yeah. Well, and the ones
when
with my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're super fun.
All right. What is a staple wardrobe piece that you must have for the fall?
Oh, this is a very Velvet's Edge question.
Yes.
I get this one a lot. I always tell people that a leather jacket is the one thing you should splurge on. I wear mine. Well, I wear it in more seasons than fall.
Yeah, I wear mine in the summer sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or spring. But it's just one of those things. Like, it seems like such a big price tag, but you end up wearing it so much that it's way worth it. And they last multiple years.
Yeah,
it's
if you
like
get a classic cut. Yeah, it's...
Totally.
And I mean, that's the thing. I said I wear mine in the summer sometimes. We've got to remember it's technically skin. You know, it's like it is
Come
meant.
Again?
It breathes. It's the skin of another leather. Animal. So it,
oh, exactly.
It's actually, but it keeps me warm in the winter. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think also, and this is not just like a huge plug on the website, but I do get this question a lot. And so for people who are just interested in like my everyday picks or things you can wear on velvetsedge.com under the shop tab, there is one that's called Everyday Favorites. And I have the leather jacket that I have linked. I also think like a good pair of boots as a staple is another really good fall investment because you're going to wear them like every day.
Totally.
It's worth it.
Yep. So and you can resole boots. If they're well made, yes. You can resole them. So they have, and I get compliments on my boots all the time, and it's because I've worn them so much.
They're actually
and they're so
better
worn,
once you wear them in.
That's when people really notice them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
What
look
else
at me.
Got?
I'm so velvet's edgy.
Oh my God. Living on the veg.
Well, I guess this next question is sort of pertinent. How would you, to anyone who's looking to get into the fashion industry, what would you suggest that they do?
Okay. This is a good one. And I've gone on a rant about this. I just remembered my rant this one day on my Instagram. I get emails or direct messages a lot from people saying, can I get together with you and pick your brain? Or I would just love to be on set with you one day and follow you around. And I'm like, okay, what's in that for me? Like, I don't mean to sound like a total bitch, but it's super hard work, like what you do once you get into this industry. And it actually sounds like more work for me to sit with someone and just tell them how to do my job. Like, it's taken me years to have to learn how to do certain things. I busted my ass. I worked for free. And so that's what I always tell people is if you really want to get into this industry, first of all, get ready to work, because if it was easy, then everybody would do it. So get ready to work. Also, if you're going to email someone, tell them what you can bring to the table
right.
to help
Don't
them.
Don't say pick your brain. Say, hey, can I intern for you? Can
yeah,
I help
or,
you?
Like, I will work for free. Or if you don't want to work for free, don't offer that. But like, I am a hard worker. Here's my skill set. I'm super organized. Like, that's something I'm always looking for because I am not organized. So if someone was to come to me and tell me a skill set about their organization or that they're good at Google Docs, even, you know what I mean? Like, I would get really specific and tell people what it is you're really good at. And also, like, work on building your own book. Shoot with your friends. Like, dress your friends up and take pictures of them. Even if it's on your iPhone, these days that can be amazing. But to be able to show someone that you have good style or a style that's, like, matches their own, you know, that's who I want working
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I mean, even with Instagram now, it's like you can have sort of a fashion website.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the next person who sends you a message. That yeah. ask a dumb that dumb question. What are you going to do to them?
Well, I just don't respond usually. Like, if you want to get a response from me, I do have a resume folder that I keep. I'm currently already have people working that, but you know, different positions will open up over the years or whatever. And so I always keep a resume folder, but I'm not putting it in there
nope.
unless you actually like give me some reason to want to remember you.
There you have it, kids.
There you have it.
Volunteer. I mean, it's that way in any industry, really, like in the music industry. I worked all through college for free
that's
just to
right.
get the experience, to get a really low paying job.
Well, and that's the other thing is I think a lot of times what I see is, 20 somethings graduating college. And I remember feeling this way, like I actually really think I could be great at this. And I just came out of school. I, you know, did really well or blah, 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 blah. And so they think that they deserve to just walk into a job and like, no, you don't.
Nope.
And even if you're the most
high paying job.
Well, right. Even if you're the most creative, talented person, you still have to earn it because experience, you cannot just like know that stuff.
Right. Right.
So I feel like I sound really hardcore right now.
No, I mean, I think it's important for people to understand that it really truly is. About experience. I would venture to say most people that I know working professionals in various businesses, they don't use what they learned in college. They use what they've learned in the workforce.
The actual work experience.
So much is relationship driven, and particularly in entertainment, that you know it's invaluable just being out there and meeting people.
Absolutely.
So. All right, moving on.
Okay.
What is your favorite place to go on vacation?
It's somewhere warm, I guess. Anywhere warm. I mean, I travel so much. Like, I literally haven't been home. So the only place I really want to go right now is home to my own bed. Is that vacation?
I mean, it can be.
Yeah. I don't know. Anywhere warm, usually, like with a beach and good drinks. That's the worst answer ever. I don't vacation that much.
How about where's the favorite place that you've been?
I did go on a trip to Barbados one time. Ugh, and it was beautiful.
And Riri's from there.
Exactly. That's enough said. I mean, but it was so beautiful. The water was amazing. Just the people are so nice. It's just super chill. You're on island time, so nothing matters. Yeah. My phone didn't work, so it was amazing.
They also, it's a pretty small island. And what I remember is, you get it has so many different types of beaches. It has like a really like smooth, glassy beach. It's got ones with big waves where people that like to surf can go.
Yeah, there was a lot of different options. We went snorkeling one day, swam with the turtles.
Oh,
you know, just things like that. Things you do on living with nature. Beachy vacations.
All right, enough of this Velvet's Edge stuff. We're listening to you're
we're you listening. Bored with this? Are you bored with this?
Come on, this is Act Casual. I want to embarrass you a little bit. All right.
Oh God.
Sorry, moms. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you during sex?
I literally can't. Oh my God. You just took such a hard turn. I'm about to drink the other 2.5 hours of this five hour energy.
Pump it up, girl.
Oh, wait, what's the question?
What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you during sex?
Queefing.
Isn't that really common, though?
I don't know. I can't believe I just said that.
Oh, my God. That's definitely the title of this episode. Yeah. Queefing with a question
Mom
mark?
Mom is literally going to be like, what happened?
Well, maybe she'll tell you it's happened.
What's your answer to that one, mister?
I mean, probably farting.
Well, I thought maybe it could be like prematurely.
Well, that too. But I think that's so rampant with guys that it's like.
Is it?
I mean, yeah, I think it happens to everybody.
What do you do? You're like, oops.
Sorry. Go to bed.
Oh my
you like
God,
fall directly asleep.
Play possum.
You wore me out.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. I mean, this question. You guys, I found a website that has funny questions. And you're going to gasp when I read this one.
Oh, dear God.
Give me 3 adjectives to best describe your vagina.
I'm not. Just. Okay, I have to like pause this. This is way too inappropriate, even for Act Casual.
Yeah, it's time for more casual, I think.
A little more velvet to our edge.
Yes.
Okay, I got one. What do you think is the easiest and hardest part of dating in your 30s versus your 20s?
The easiest part is probably that I'm more self-assured. I know who I am. I know what I want. So it's easier to sort of like weed out, you know, bad people and just bullshit.
Yeah.
The hardest part is that younger people are so much hotter. You know, like you just feel older. I'm tired. Like literally the last thing I want to do is go on a date.
You have more energy in your 20s.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with you on the 30s piece of knowing more of what you want. For me, the 20s is like, the thing that was better about your 20s is everyone's single. You just have so many options. And in your 30s, it's like, where is everybody? They're either married or you're like, why are you still single?
Right. I guess too, the funny thing about being in your 20s is that you feel like you've got all the time in the world. Like, I don't need to settle down. I'm in my 20s.
Nothing has to be that
serious. And then you're in your 30s and you're like, damn it, I'm almost 40 and I'm still single.
Right.
You know?
It's, right.
But honestly, I am in my 40s now and I'm single and I'm kind of thankful.
You are?
Yeah, because I haven't settled, you know? I mean, I would have loved to have, you know, met my forever, but I also don't feel like I've chosen, I didn't get locked down into anything that like I'm unhappy in.
Yeah.
So
another person asked, what are your age cutoffs for dating young and old?
I mean, I truly do believe that age is just a number.
You're like they're in the grave. That's my cutoff.
Seriously, the closer to the grave is what I'm looking for. Wow. And they got to be rich.
Okay.
But if they're old. No, I do think that age is just a number. It's more sort of about like their personality to me.
Right.
But I have learned that, you know, life brings you lessons, you know, and it's, maturity comes with age.
Right.
And that's not to say that there aren't really mature younger people, because there are, but I've yet to really come across them in the dating world.
Yeah. Younger has not worked for me. The youngest I've gone is 8 or 9 years younger than me. I tried. Wow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it, like, again, no problems, but like, what do you relate about? I don't know. But then again, like, I've dated a guy 12 years older than me. And so what was he relating to me about?
Right.
But I think it's different. Like, I don't know. I think for me, at least, it's been that when guys are older, it just doesn't matter as much, you know. Well, they say girls mature faster.
Right. I was going to say guys mature slower. So.
Mm-hmm. So basically that evens us out.
Yeah.
12 years.
12 years. That 12 year difference.
Do you have one?
Yeah. If you could have any other career, what would it be and why?
A therapist. Yeah, that would be mine. I love, that was actually, psychology was my major. So, I mean, minor. And I almost majored in it, but instead I did communications. And I've always kind of been like, should I have done that and gone to just grad school? And, you know, I don't know. I love talking to people. I love helping them get to solutions, you know, with any problems that they're going to. I'm fascinated by the way our brains work and how, like, situations you go through or trauma affects everything we do in the future. You know, just, I don't know. I just love all of that stuff. That's why I love therapy.
Helping somebody unravel it too.
Yeah. Just learning about it. It's so fascinating to me. What would you do?
Oh God, the list is so long.
Do people even know what you do?
I don't know.
So do you want to tell?
I do marketing and management at a music management company. So, yeah. And my history is, I've worked at record labels for most of my career. I think, I mean, there's a lot. Maybe a veterinarian.
That is so not what I thought you were going to say.
But I just, the sadness that comes along with it, I don't think I could deal with it.
Like if they were sick or dying.
Right. And having to deal with people that are like losing or putting down an animal, like I'd be like bawling with them. I think a screenwriter would be a really fun job.
Do you like to write?
I do, but I don't do it enough.
Okay, I didn't notice.
And yeah, maybe those two.
Okay.
Why? What were you thinking I would be?
Just neither of those.
A backup dancer?
Maybe. I have seen those body rolls. I also think it's one of those things that, like, it's super difficult to be like, oh, that would be a fun job to do, because every people say that to me all the time too. And there's so many different parts of it that you just don't see.
Right.
And like people are always like, oh, it'd be so fun to just pick out clothes all the time. And I'm like, oh, the fact that that's what you really think that it's like,
right.
It's just so much more complicated.
Try lugging them everywhere.
Oh my God. The bags that I carry on the road are 100 pounds each. I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah,
it's crazy.
So even, I don't
know. Then you
got to
pull them
out
and steam clean them. And
it's just, yeah. Ugh. But again, I love it. And so it makes it worth it. But it's not just this simple, like, oh, let's put clothes on people,
right.
And like they're gonna really wear what I want them to all the time,
right.
You know.
I mean, it's just, I feel like the same thing happens with my job. Like people are like, oh my God, I would kill for it. And I'm like, yeah, it's a fun job, but it is a job.
At the end of the day, yes.
And we travel a lot, and we're not home, and we miss our beds, and we miss our families.
There's pluses,
like,
and minuses,
yeah,
to every
to
single
everything.
Job.
I mean, my mother was like, her job was from 8 to 4. She took an hour lunch.
Yeah.
If she only took a half hour, she could leave at 3:30. Like, it was like so structured, and she was able to have a really balanced life because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what she did, like, you know, I couldn't imagine doing that forever. I mean, what she did was good. She worked for, she was a social worker, but like she was in the welfare part of it. So it was like really grueling, a lot of paperwork, you know.
I would be so emotional with that job.
So emotional too.
I do think that it's so true that every single person is made for a certain type of position.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. Oh, that even just like, I was just thinking when you were saying that about your mom's schedule, like, first of all, what would that be like? And then second of all, I recently was talking to the guy I'm dating about trying to plan a trip in March. And I'm like, March? I can barely think past this week. And that is how my schedule works. But that's been a hard thing for a lot of my friends who aren't in the business or people I've dated to adjust to, especially if you have like a more regular schedule.
Right.
You want to be planned out. You know, like his life, he wants to be planned out. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, it stresses me out all the time because I have no idea what my clients' needs are going to be at that point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's like, yeah, there's just pluses and minuses, and you just get used to everything, I guess, in your own world. But this is a good one. How do you handle financial stress? That was it. Let me try that again. How do you handle financial stress?
I mean, I think my problem is that I don't handle it.
Okay. So you like dig a hole and hide?
Kinda, or just act like it. There's no problem.
Are you acting too casual with your finances?
Sometimes.
Okay.
You know, it's finance is funny. Like, I definitely know that I need to be better about it, but it's. I feel like in my life, it's money comes along at the right times often. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay. That went away.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I know the things that I need to fix in order to like help with my, I'm like really bad about cooking. So I like eat out all the time. Yeah. It just gets really expensive. And if I was just better about a few things, like it would.
You could cut costs.
Right.
So that's your tip is cut costs. Right.
Cut costs. Yeah.
Do you know, I feel like first of all, that I've only grown up financially or like into a financial adult in probably the last like 3 years.
Right.
Like I just was, I don't know. I think maybe it was like the freelance life that I lived, but I didn't really have a concept of how to be an adult with money. And for me, I actually did a podcast with this guy who he's a money manager. And I thought you had to have like so much money to go meet with people like that. But you don't. Or he, you know, works with multiple different kinds of people. But he sat with me and literally things like figuring out what I need to make each month to pay my bills. Like, I didn't do stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, that sounds ridiculous. But like, if you're not in a salary position, which I'm not, I get paid per job. I just didn't think about it. I was always just like, let me just go make money.
So you don't have a target. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was fine. And it worked fine for years, I guess. But like, I was not really sure of how much I was supposed to be saving or anything like that. So we sat down and he told me how much I needed to be taken out of each check to put into savings. Like, it sounds so basic and it sounds embarrassing to say out loud, but it helped me to like buy a house or build a savings. Like, I'm freezing my eggs, you know, things that like, big deal grown-up things that I probably wouldn't have been able to do if I wasn't just a little bit conscious.
Yeah, it's just about paying attention.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to that podcast, it's with Daniel Burke. He is a financial guy who's amazing and has so many easy tips that are applicable to everyone. So go check that one out.
Oh, is it my turn to ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, if you could be a celebrity embroiled in a scandal, which one would
probably
you be?
Kim Kardashian, because she's made so much money off of her scandal.
God, yeah,
so I guess I'm making a sex tape.
There you go.
What about you?
God, I don't even know.
Don't pick someone. Remember the, okay, Chip and I did a podcast a couple weeks ago too about all the celebrity meltdowns. So you probably don't want to pick someone from that list.
Right.
The Lindsay Lohans of the crew.
God, it's.
Do you want to pray about it and get back to us?
I was going to say the Rob Lowe one, but that's kind of gross. He was
Rob
like a
Lowe
pedophile.
Had a scandal?
Remember? Well,
wait, a what?
He was caught on film having sex with like a 16-year-old or something.
But what did you just call him?
He was a pedophile.
Yeah, I thought you said a pedophile.
Pedophile.
A pedophile, like F-O-F.
But his career, like he sort of escaped it, you know, and it's.
I didn't even remember
people
that
don't even
about him.
Remember it anymore. So
very interesting.
Maybe that's what I would want for my scandal is that it's a blip on the radar.
Okay. I feel like I was having this conversation with someone the other day, but like most things these days are blips on the radar because there is just, we're just so oversaturated all the time. And there's so much, the news is so negative. Like there's so much scandal all the time that it's like you might have a scandal for a week and then it goes away.
Well, I mean, that's what's happening in politics right now is like, people are like creating scandals to make you forget about the current scandal. It's just crazy. It's a, you can't keep up.
This is a fashion question. What's the best place for affordable men's suits? My go-to is Top Man. Bobby, I put Bobby in Top Man all the time.
Yeah. Zara makes good suits too.
Zara does too.
But they're, you know, they're cut for Italian bodies, which are tall and thin. So
yeah, I do. I will say, like, with Top Man, ASOS is another really good mm-hmm. one. But what I would do is buy that suit, and they're under $100 sometimes. And if you get it tailored, it looks like a really well made, like, get it tailored to fit your body, which shouldn't cost that much more either. It's still less expensive than buying an expensive suit. But that way it looks expensive. It looks really well made. It looks custom. That's just the way to go. Cause sometimes they're a little boxy, or like you said, they're made to fit certain body types.
Right. Right.
Top Man's good though, because they have the skinny fit, which is, you know, not everyone can pull off, but they also have like a muscle fit, or they have different shapes.
Right.
This is like a Top Man ad now. God, they need to sponsor me or something. Do you have one? I got one. How do you get over being angry at someone? I love, this is hilarious to ask me this question. How do you get over being angry at someone, especially if you're not one to hold grudges? Well, if you don't, just get over it then.
Right. Yeah. That's a weird question.
Anger is my go-to emotion. So I think it's funny someone asked me about that. I don't know. Do you know what my mom says? Is that the best way to get over anger is to pray for someone, or like resentment. Pray for someone every day to have everything that they want, to be happy, to pray for that person.
Right.
To have everything they want, to be happy, everything you want, like just all of the things that in life that are good. And that if you do that every day, you'll get over it.
I get why that works.
Why?
Well, because
the hardest thing to do when you're in it.
Because you're not mirroring their anger. So you're not harboring that like bullshit that's, I mean, if it's generally when someone's angry with you,
this is if you're angry at them.
I know, but they've probably done something because they're angry at you.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And I think that like by sending good vibes their way, it creates good vibes in your life and it helps you just sort of move past it.
To let go.
Yeah. I mean, what good is it to like sit around and just be angry at somebody?
Well, they say that anger and like holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know what I mean? Like you're right. Just, you are really holding on to something that's not punishing them that you're holding on
right.
to. You're
They've
only
moved
punishing
on.
Yourself.
They've yeah. moved on.
But that's so hard. I mean, the hardest thing to do when you're pissed at someone is to go, I hope they get everything they want in their life.
Right.
I'm like, I hope they get hit by a bus.
I mean, you can think that instantly and then sort of change your vibe. Like you don't want to think that over and over and over again.
Yeah. I've definitely been through phases or situations. This is way in the past before I did so much therapy, but I would feel like just if I had felt wrong or, you know, wronged or hurt that I can't even say this one out loud. Never mind. It's going to make me sound like a crazy person.
No, you have to say it now.
Like I literally went through that situation where I went through that really bad breakup and I would drive by Rex and be like, oh, is it his car? For a while, I was that mad. Luckily, I was able to work through that anger. But, you know, I'm glad no one died.
Well, yeah, and you're like laughing about it. So there is like an element of humor to it.
I mean, at the time there probably wasn't, but.
Oh, is that his car?
Yeah.
What would you have done if it was?
Then I probably would have been sad. But, you know, in the moment when you're just so mad at someone.
You like pull over and you're like, you had it coming, motherfucker.
I hope that we're laughing about this.
Well, luckily, it was never his car. And hopefully, all the wrecks that you saw were minor, you know, fender benders.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. That's a really great point you make.
I just saw a question from that other list I was looking at. And I'm not going to ask that one.
Oh, dear God. This is your last chance. What you got? You got one shot. I'm about to start rapping Eminem to you.
If you could leave one legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can leave one legacy. What do you hope your legacy is that you leave on this earth?
I think lately, the thing that I've been wanting to come across the most about my life or just what I'm like giving back to people is just owning and loving yourself and like living your authentic life and living in your authentic truth. And I know that's what I'm trying to learn how to do. But just being vulnerable enough with each other to let ourselves be actually seen. So if I can live my life that way, hopefully it can, you know, show that to others or they can be inspired, but I don't know. It's just, that's kind of what I'm trying to do in my life. And so if that's what people remembered me by, that would be awesome.
I like that answer.
Do you have one?
I don't know that I do yet.
Still working
other
on
than
that.
Like, you know, I'd like to think that, people will remember my kindness, you know, mm-hmm. and because I do think it's infectious. And I also think, you know, just by being kind to people, it sort of mirrors what you were saying. It's like accepting people for who they are. And like, I don't know, the world is such a negative place right now. And I know I get wrapped up in it and I try not to, but the reason why I feel like I'm so wrapped up in it is because a lot of the problems seem so easily fixed by just being kind,
yeah.
you know, like choosing the moral right thing to do and not only thinking about ourselves, you know? So it's, If I can change one person with and start a ripple of kindness, then that would be a good enough legacy for me.
I love that. Yeah. What's that Maya Angelou quote where she says people won't remember? I think it's Maya Angelou. I just think everything good is her. So yeah. People don't remember what you said or what you did, but how you treated them.
Right, something like that.
Yeah, I probably misquoted that, but you know the
yeah,
gist.
Or like what you did,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
That's
yeah.
a good one. Did you guys like this? What do you think about the question and answer series minus all the sex talk?
You guys, in PS, we're going to edit some shit out. So yeah. You don't even hear the worst of it.
Maybe this is something we could do once a month. If you guys want to submit more questions, let us know. Give us some feedback at casual@velvetsedge.com. Maybe keep them PG-13-ish.
Yeah,
we'll go with that. Let us know what you guys want to know. And always remember,
act casual.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Act Casual on Velvet's Edge.
We'll be back every Friday with your Act Casual topic of the week. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to ensure that you are the first to hear each episode.
Also, we want to hear from you. What are some things that make you want to scream act casual or just topics you think we need to discuss? Email us at actcasual@velvetsedge.com and always remember,
act casual.